Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 325. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth. Joining me tonight is Lewis Pugh.
Hello.
And Harrison Milfeld.
Howdy, everybody.
We're excusing Colin for tonight. He couldn't get out of work, so unfortunately he won't be here.
Yeah, he wasn't one of the cool kids who got the Smash Brothers demo codes from like we did.
New school, like the old school.
He's not allowed to be here because he's not been playing Smash. Actually, I'm totally kidding about that. Like I mentioned, he's at work and was unable to make it. And we will miss him a lot. I always do when one of our hosts can't make it. But today we're going to shake things up a little. I made kind of a crazy little structure here. We're going to start with what we've been playing, move on to our feature, which I have called the Treehouse Take. And I'll explain that when we get to it. And if we have enough time, we are going to actually finish on a community comments and questions section. We're nixing the Nintendo news section for today because I think the news that has been happening lately will crop up in our discussions anyway, so... Before we dive into what we've been playing, I just have like a little story to tell. I want to briefly describe some of the things that took place this past Friday. Okay, first of all, and I'm not joking here, I had a dream about Super Smash Bros. For the 3DS the night before these demo codes were distributed.
Specifically the 3DS version?
Yes! I dreamt that I was actually playing it on a TV screen, and the quality was really crappy, and I was like, oh shoot, I don't know if I want this game after all.
How bizarre.
That's better than my dream where I'm not a Pokemon trainer, so...
Wait, you have dreams where you're not... Yeah.
Yeah, so you dream that you are a Pokemon trainer, and then you wake up, and you're not?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you just had a dream where you kind of realize that you're not a Pokemon trainer. And then you get a bit sad.
It starts to unravel, and it's just basically I'm commanding rodents, and people are looking at me, and then I wake up, and I realize this is not real. And then I realize, wait a minute, this whole scenario is not real. And I wake up, and I'm like... Thank goodness that did not happen in real life.
It would be slightly embarrassing, I guess. I sometimes will have dreams, though, that I'm like, I don't know, an adventurer in Lord of the Rings. Or I used to have these as a kid. I was an adventurer in Lord of the Rings, or I was on a broomstick from Harry Potter that could fly. Yeah. Dreams can be so nice.
You mean not on a broomstick like, say, Kiki's Delivery Service?
No, it was Harry Potter stuff. That was kind of my thing growing up. Okay, so I dreamt about Super Smash Bros. So when I woke up Friday morning, my emotions were already running a little bit high, especially since I tend to have really vivid dreams. So starting at about 11 o'clock a.m. my time, I started watching Nintendo's Live at the Treehouse stream on Twitch. After a while, people in the chat started going on about how Club Nintendo codes that were going, these Club Nintendo codes that were going around for the early access demo that we all probably already know about for Super Smash Bros. For the 3DS. Didn't take me that long to realize what was happening, so I quickly opened up my email in another window. No new messages. I was like, oh shoot, what if I don't get it? I hate feeling like I'm missing out on something like this. And the crazed comments from fans in the Twitch chat did not help. I don't know if you guys watched the Twitch feed of that, but people in the comments were just kind of having
like begging.
Panic attacks. Yeah, begging. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it kind of developed to almost auctioning. By the time I got to the Twitch feeds, they were just like listing prices for demo codes. I'm not sure if there actually were genuine uptakers to that, but yeah, that was dominating the chat. The frenzy of the codes.
It was even fun. Like, I actually enjoyed watching the back and forth between people who were begging for codes and other people who are all like, this is so ridiculous. You guys are ruining the chat. I was just, you know, kind of chuckling to myself. But I only really did that after I got my email and felt a little bit better because, you know, like, okay, I got the demo. I'm good. I can relax. So I decided pretty quickly who I'd give the additional 3 codes to. And one of those was Harrison. And I understand you actually got an email of your own anyway?
Yeah, it came in late, whatever. I just, as soon as you told me that you got your codes, I scrambled to my email and I was like, oh, wow, I missed out again, whatever, on this. Much like Club Nintendo Rewards that get sold out in a matter of minutes. Or, but no, it was around like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then I just put out a message on Twitter. I was like, well, I got an email late. Does anybody want these 4 codes, whatever? And then there was a stream of people just asking me that I don't even follow, just like begging, like, please, 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 let me have this, please, please. And, like, I asked everybody to DM, like, direct message me, whatever, for, and I'll send it to you, whatever. It's like, and they kept asking me, like, follow me and I'll be able to do this. And I'm like, then luckily people I knew came in and are like, yeah, here you go, here you go. And I was going to get the last one to my roommate, and then I just said, a friend of mine chimed in really late, because I was like, you know what? I think my roommate can wait, so here we go.
Aw. So you don't have anyone to play with locally, then?
Nope. I've been going through each of the characters that are available right now and just enjoying it, so...
Mm. Yeah, similar to my approach currently. Unfortunately, I haven't received any codes, like, to my own account, as it were. So I've not been able to give a code to a friend. But thankfully, I did manage to pick up a code from an internet friend. So I do have the demo on my system, and I've been playing through that single player.
I saved a code specifically for... Oh, gosh. So, okay, I have a brother. 2 younger brothers, in fact. One of them owns a 3DS. However, he recently moved away and left his 3DS at home so that my other younger brother could play Pokemon. So, I put the code on my one brother's 3DS, but only so my other brother and also my little sister could play with me. So I just really wanted to experience it locally, like the local multiplayer, if I could, because that's kind of an exclusive feature of the early access demo, I believe, is that you can play it with other people. So I've been enjoying that a lot. But this is kind of like the perfect... I was supposed to be in the first place, but the perfect thing to take us into... the what we've been playing section, which I think for all of us is going to be the Super Smash Bros. 3DS demo. Colin, since he was unable to make it, actually left us with a few questions to talk about. So, his first question. Has playing the demo changed your perception of the game at all? Anyone want to jump in on that?
Well, I kind of came in just thinking, My initial opinion, basically, on a Smash game, whatever, especially in a handheld, was, you know, a little bit mixed, even though I was still excited for it, because my first thought was, like, how is this going to control on here? And then friends would chime in, like, I don't know, Smash Brothers games are pretty controlled, I just need a joystick and a few buttons. I'm like, yeah, but it's just, you're playing on a handheld is what the one thing I'm just very odd to me, and how it's just going to react to being in such a, like, you know, a confined environment that is, you know, a small device like that.
But yeah, hand cramps.
that's what I say. You usually go... I'm known to crush my controller during when I lose matches of Smash, not my handheld. That's always kind of fears me for a little bit. But, no, I mean, I found it easy to control, and all those fears were kind of put to rest, but knowing that there was only about 5 characters that you could choose from, none of them Samus. So, a little disappointed there. But, no, and then only 1 stage, so I... Okay, one thing I want to ask right now, and I'm just going to feel so dumb about this. When you get a Smash Ball in... What's the button you use to push on there? Because I'm the one that just kind of went in there and I'm like, okay, I know what this should be. He's like, that didn't work. That didn't work.
It's just the standard special attack, so it should just be if you stand still and press B. Mm-hmm. But it won't work for any of the directional specials.
Oh, it's okay, I was trying to jump and do direct... Okay, there we go.
You should be able to still do it in the air as long as you're not holding the control stick in any direction when you hit the B button. So if you jump in the air and then just don't touch anything except B. You can do it in the air and kind of aim it.
It's hard not to touch anything in Smash. I'm sorry.
It is. But I think sometimes being patient can actually be a pretty good strategy. But, let's see. You were talking about something that I... Oh, the controls. Yeah, I was worried about those as well. I mean, I wasn't so worried about the controls that it kept me from really wanting this game. I mean, I pre-ordered it a few days before I got the demo, so I wasn't that worried about them. But at the same time, I was like, well, you know, it's going to be a fun Smash game, but I don't expect it to have such great controls. At first, actually, the controls did kind of disappoint me a little bit, but yeah, once you get used to them, they actually work fine, and game's a blast.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's just one thing I was used to with a GameCube controller is when you had all those up, down, direction, like left or right Smash attacks just mapped there without having to basically, you know, use the directional pad and hold A to, at the same time, to commit that act, is that that's one thing I kind of miss on there a little bit, I guess. So, I mean, there's a way to get around it. It's nothing too bad.
Yeah, and customizable controls will obviously be available in the full version as well, so I actually can't wait for that. There's only one thing about the controls I want to change, and I change it whenever possible when I'm playing Super Smash Bros. It is, I don't like how you can jump. How you can jump by just pushing up on the circle pad. I don't like that. It kind of messes up my moves.
You can jump using one of the A, B, X, Y buttons.
Yeah, the X and the Y button, which is how I usually jump. But I like to completely remove the option to jump by hitting up on your C-stick.
I completely agree with that. I do that when I can on the custom settings.
Uh-huh.
I think the other thing I would change with the default layout is possibly swap L and R around. I'm not sure why it's the case, but it just feels better to do your... currently have the grabs on L and shield on
L.
R?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like that was in the wrong direction, too. I just felt weird.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back, and I think it's possibly because what grabs were done on the Z button, which was on the right-hand side, and shields could have been done on either L or R on the triggers.
Yeah.
And so I think I generally used the L for the shield, and I had, obviously, my right finger on the Z button on the GameCube controller. So I would swap them as well, and turn up for jump. But it is good to know that, you know, these custom settings will be available on the full game, so that's cool.
Yeah, and speaking of which, if you have the demo, you know, obviously not a whole lot is available, but you do at least get to see some of the placeholders for things that will be available in the full game. And I've been seeing those and thinking, like, oh my gosh, it's going to have so much content. I'm really excited to see how Street Pass works. We don't know about
We've never heard about Street Pass. Well, there's a very interesting picture which goes along with the text. It makes me almost think of the Street Pass modes, which are in Street Fighter 4 for 3DS and even Dead or Alive, fairly close to 3DS launch, where they were also both fighting games, but the Street Pass was you would select one of the characters, and I believe they would have some sort of stats attached to it, and when it was in when you would Street Pass, your kind of set fighters would kind of fight automatically depending on their stats, and I guess a bit of randomization, and when you open up, you'd find out who won and who lost, and you could get experience and level up, and you get some, you know, coins and such, which you could use to buy stuff in the game. And so it's just kind of like an automated fighting thing going on while your 3DS is in sleep mode. I think it might do something similar in here. It's hard to tell, but it says a street smash of epic proportions, defeat your rivals and win prizes. So I think it could be something similar.
Yeah, sounds really interesting. I'm glad that Nintendo hasn't revealed all their cards right off the bat. I don't know, because we still don't really know what Street Pass does, and so there's that to discover.
We do know from a translation from what the Wii U to option button on the home screen is, apparently that you can use your 3DS as a controller for the Wii U version.
Oh.
Yeah, which is quite bizarre, really. But
yeah,
it makes
kind of
some
unnecessary
sense. I mean, if you don't happen to have a whole bunch of classic controllers or GameCube controllers, but you do have a 3DS, I guess that's better than having a Wii remote turned sideways or no controller at all. Although what I'm also thinking, maybe it would also take advantage of NFC. And so you could have two controllers with NFC readers, essentially.
I guess we'll kind of find out, won't we? Yeah. Exactly how it works, that is. But, for me especially, the whole extra controller thing is kind of unnecessary, but it's cool that it's there. Anyway, Colin's second question, though, is what do you think of the character roster in the full game? And then he says in parentheses here, I can pretty much guess what Harrison's reply is. So, because we now pretty much have confirmation, especially since the Japanese game has released, obviously, we know who's in there and who's not. Does anyone have any thoughts on the final full roster? Harrison?
you hear my silencing, my bit of silence there for our fallen Smash roster heroes as Mewtwo and Ridley, so... Mm. I wrote a long post. I wrote a bit of a somewhat of an editorial on the rumors surrounding Ridley and Smash fans going to great lengths just dissecting just so many bits of video. How Sakurai has never mentioned him by name in posts, thinking like, what is he doing? You know, why is it that is he just toying with us about this? But I'm coming to terms that yes, it's not going to happen, but. There's still that hope for DLC, but it's...
Also, I'm curious. I mean, have we seen footage now of Ridley as a stage boss?
No, we have not, because I think he is a stage boss. He's only exclusive, probably, to the Wii U version. And And I think it's rumored that Kraid might be one for the 3DS version. Ooh. So, that's a possibility there. Back on the character roster, though, I mean, what they kind of had there already, I really hope that's not the starting lineup that's on there. I really don't. That just feels like you're giving us too much right away, and just one of the best things I liked about Smash is just unlocking all the characters. Although, apparently from the Japanese, people who've gotten the Japanese version is, you could play roughly, I think, 100 matches or something like that, 100, 110 or something, and you can pretty much unlock them all. Whereas I think probably with Melee, if you played over 100 matches or so, you only unlocked, like, maybe 3-4 out of the 11 unlockable characters. So, I'm just... It's interesting how it's just, is this kind of getting to that point where Nintendo's dumbing down how easy it is, like, making it easy as far as to unlock everything. But I hope a few of the characters that we see on there, like Shulk, Pac-Man, Palutena, everything else, those are not the starting lineup. I hope the starting lineup's around something like 2022, because right now we're at like good gosh 47 characters, I think.
Whoa. I never took the time to count them either, actually, but that actually sounds pretty likely, especially after all these leaks. Here's one of the big things about the full roster: clone characters. There are a ton of them. I mean, Dark Pit, I don't see how he can be anything but a blatant clone.
And I think that's been confirmed as well now, unfortunately. I was holding out hope that he would be unique in some way, but he looks like his moves are the same as Pit's.
I would say, let's go down the rosters for his clone characters.
Lucina.
Would you say she's still a clone, even though Sakurai said she's not a blatant clone?
Well, I'm pretty sure she's... If you see her fighting in her reveal trailer, which was basically actually Robin's reveal trailer, she has, like, the exact same moveset as Marth. The only differences are that her sword... What did I say? I should know this. I think her sword is shorter, but it does the same amount of damage throughout its length. So there's a couple of differences between her and Marth, but not a whole lot. There's a lot of... Isn't Dr. Mario coming back, too?
He is, yes.
Yes, unfortunately.
Oh, there's another for you. Okay. There's a lot of clones in this game.
And on top of the clones as well, because they've split up the transforming characters, that pads out the numbers of the roster, because we never counted them as extra characters before. Things like Sheik and Zero Suit Samus.
And Charizard. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that's a clone. I mean, Sheik has its own moveset thing
there. Oh, no, of course. But I'm just saying that it's now counted as an extra character, where in the previous games, because they were transformed, Wii U only counted Zelda, for example, not Zelda and Sheik.
Yeah. And that's how it was on the character select screen. It was just one slot. So.
Well, I mean, I'm just naming off the top of my head, but based on Dr. Mario, Dark Pit, Lucina.
Would Ganondorf... in obviously Melee, Ganondorf and Captain Falcon were clones, but I thought in Brawl that it was actually cleared up a little bit, at least.
Yeah, but it was worsened, though. Ganondorf's moveset was significantly dumbed down and slowed to a pulp.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm only counting, like, maybe five, maybe six clone characters, and out of this possible 46, 47 character roster, I think that's a good... It's okay.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean...
Oh, Falco's back, I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's another one for you. I don't know why I'm sounding so upset about this, because I'm actually really thrilled that Lucina is in there, for one thing, and for another thing... She is a lot like Marth. Marth was one of my usual characters that I use ever since Melee. And I really like Lucina as a character in Fire Emblem. And so to just be able to kind of, I don't know, I probably won't play as Marth as much because I kind of have like a new usual character to use in Lucina. So honestly, I'm not that disappointed with all the clone characters. It's just when I heard about Dark Pit especially, I thought, okay, he looks... the exact same as Pit. That's really the only clone that I'm really upset about. And it's probably mostly actually because of the appearance. He looks like Pit, but, you know, dark. So.
Yeah, I think the only constellation with the clone characters, and specifically Dark Pit, are they haven't taken the place of any unique characters, because the amount of work Sakurai would have had to put into the game to make Dark Pit is minuscule compared to what it takes to develop a new character. And so I think it would just be in a situation where we either have Dark Pit or we don't have Dark Pit and there's nothing to replace him. It's just, I think, and a lot of this is guesswork, but they get nearer to the end of the development of the game and they figure out we have some time, we could add some extra clone characters in. And it's, yeah, not a matter that they're replacing anything, but they've got some time to add some clone characters in, which they would not be able to do unique characters. They're all, in my opinion, set from day one in designing.
That does make me feel better. I will say that. Colin's third question. Do you believe there will be DLC in this game? If so, what form do you think it will take? I think one of the big questions here is, are we talking about the 3DS version, the Wii U version, or both?
That's a good question in itself, really. Because they're starting off in sync. So will they come to a situation where the Wii U starts getting download characters and the 3DS version doesn't? You would think they would try and keep things synchronized, but then how would they manage? Would you have to buy the characters on the 3DS and then also buy them on the Wii U?
That's an interesting question. I don't know how
it's not like you get both games for the same price.
Well, here's a question for you as well, though, is... like, are new characters going to be DLC, or is the DLC going to be something else, like new stages?
Yeah. See, I struggle to think that, and I know this will probably be not what a lot of people want to hear, but I don't think there will be new characters for DLC, despite their kind of turnaround on things like Mario Kart 8 DLC. I don't think they're going to do it for Smash. I think Sakurai's going to be like, yep, the game is balanced now, we've done a good job, guys, pat on the back. I don't think they're going to be wanting to introduce new characters once it's shipped.
I kind of disagree. I think there could be an exception for it. And this is not me saying, oh, there's hope for Ridley as a DLC character. I really think that you could probably... I mean, okay, I know people listening to this right now, we're spoiling basically like the roster right now. But the thing is, it's out there. Anybody checks, it is... Every news site has posted about the characters, like reveals from the Japanese version. One of the characters that have been omitted has been Ice Climbers.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
So, that's my reason. I think that may make a return. Same with, say, the other characters have been rumored. When that initial leak happened in August, part of the DLC was mentioning about Ice Climbers and Chorus Men from Rhythm Heaven.
That would be a weird one. I know that we've talked about it before, but I still just can't wrap my head around that idea. But whatever, you never know. I mean, I never would have expected the dog from Duck Hunt to make it in, so there's that.
I think Sakurai had mentioned something in the beginning of development that he wanted to bring in another retro revival character. And that was just very vague. We didn't know what it could be. I mean, it easily could have been Little Mac being a retro revival, but I don't know. I'm just interested to see how the dog from Duck Hunt actually works.
Well, yeah, I'm really excited about that.
The great thing
too.
About it, yeah, it's not just the dog, is it? It's also the duck riding on its back, which oddly reminds me of Banjo and Kazooie.
It's like, since we don't have the rights to that anymore, we might as well use this.
And the thing is, there's also an alt costume where the colours look suspiciously like both of those at the same time.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if that's deliberate or not.
I've actually been doing my best to avoid hearing about confirmed characters, even if, you know, the Japanese version's out, so all the, cat's out of the bag. I still want to kind of avoid it and try to experience the game as much as possible, so I'm not really up on all this. But back to DLC. Any other thoughts? I mean, it might not be characters or stages. What else could be DLC? Actually, I have no idea. Characters and stages is the only thing that comes to me, but does anyone have any other thoughts on what DLC could be?
Maybe new challenges.
Oh, that's a good point. Do you think they're having, like, events? Or is that the...
We've not actually heard about events yet. So it could technically one of the exclusive features about the Wii U version. But I'm pretty sure events, as we know it, aren't in the 3DS version. So maybe it could be something like that. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they do some things around Smash Run, because they seem to be doing a big focus around that. Or, you know, the abilities you can attach to your Miis. There seems to be a lot of, you know, kind of additional accessory stuff which is going in here, which kind of fits quite nicely into DLC, although it's not the most exciting stuff. So maybe that, or like, you know, Smash Run is essentially one big stage, so maybe they'll introduce another big stage of Smash Run as DLC or something along those lines.
Hmm. Well, time will tell. I think DLC is going to happen, though. I think that's something Nintendo is going to continue doing. And they'll do it really well. I mean, they've done really well with the Mario Kart 8 DLC, and so I have high hopes for that. But overall, I don't know. Let's just finish this section on, like, our thoughts on the demo summed up. Overall, the demo is actually a lot more fun than I anticipated it to be. The details, the little details in there, that, I don't know. There's like, okay, I don't think I've ever seen this in any dual screen game, because the 3DS obviously has two screens, but when you're on the character select screen in the demo, you can, and obviously this will be the same in the full game, but you can move your cursor with the circle pad, and you can move it between screens, and it kind of just tells you where it's at with this little arrow that points down to the touch screen or up to the top screen. So there are just weird little awesome touches like that that just make me like need the full game even more. I mean, it's like I say, I had already pre-ordered the full game, but there's just no way I can miss out on it, especially after this. So anyone else have any final kind of overall thoughts on the demo?
I like how isn't this only for the people who've got this, the Club Nintendo members, that the demo, like the early demo, is that it's unlimited uses?
Uh-huh. The general public demo that comes out next week will only have 30 uses. So, yeah. Which is more than enough, if you ask me, but yeah. So
well, yeah.
That's kinda nice.
When I initially got the code from you, even though I got an email from it, I had to ask you, like, well, how big is the download and the file size? Because I had been kind of cleaning out my 3DS right now's file, because I'm finally going to download Fire Emblem Awakening for the 3D, like the Smash sale, finally this week. So,
woo-hoo.
And yes, finally, wow, I know.
So I was listening to its soundtrack today, actually.
But I was going to. I realized I think its file sizes are around. I had like maybe 12,000 blocks left, and Smash One was about a little over 1,000. So I have enough on there. I had originally thought, like, you know what, I'm just gonna buy a physical copy of it and then get Kid Icarus Uprising on there. But that's 16 or 18,000 blocks. I was like, I'm not buying another. I'm waiting on a new SD card to deal with that. I mean, it's kind of why I settled on the. Settled on the physical copy of Smash, finally.
Yeah, I tend to just try to stick with physical copies in general, especially with the 3DS. But I think that we will, just because of time, move on. I just need to quickly mention, I was re-listening to our last podcast, and I promised, I guaranteed, that I would talk about Mighty Gunvolt in this episode, so I have to talk about that a little. Okay, so Mighty Gunvolt, it's an original game developed by Inti Creates. It's got that classic 8-bit NES style of graphics. It's just a little action platformer. There are, I think, 5 stages? And 3 playable characters, one of which is Gunvolt, of course. It's named after him. I started with him, of course, and beat the game in about 33 minutes. So it's a good thing there are multiple playable characters. The other characters are Beck, who is the star, I believe, the playable character in Mighty No. 9. He's making an early appearance, so that's one reason to get as your striker Gunvolt. The other playable character is some gal whose name and backstory I don't know about. Her name is a little difficult to pronounce, so there's no shock there, but they each have different skills and abilities, so actually multiple playthroughs are quite fun. That's particularly true because a lot of the secrets are actually only reachable by a specific character, so if you play through multiple times, you can reach different secrets with different characters, so that's actually really fun. That also actually makes the game's level design a little bit better than the level design in Azure Striker Gunvolt, which I thought was just a little bland. So overall, it's not too bad of a little game. Getting both this and Azure Striker Gunvolt for $14.99 in the United States is not a bad deal at all. And just for your information, just to finish this off, Mighty Gunvolt only comes free with Azure Striker Gunvolt until November 28th. Which is actually, to me anyway, plenty of time for you to be convinced. So if you haven't gotten Azure Striker Gunvolt, do it sometime in the next month or two. That would be good. But I'm just going to kind of end that there. I promised I'd talk about it, so I did. We're going to move on to our feature today, which I have called the Treehouse Take. I just thought that we could talk a little bit about the Nintendo Treehouse and its employees, because they've recently kind of been in the spotlight in a lot of unexpected ways. I think Nintendo is actually making this like a part of their marketing strategy, so I thought it would be worth discussing a bit. I have some little fun facts about the Treehouse. Okay, so the name Treehouse actually comes from the early 90s when a team was localizing Donkey Kong in the United States, Nintendo of America. The game was so secret, the text and the graphics were so secret, that only Nintendo employees who were specifically working on that project were allowed in on it. And the super secret room that they worked in came to actually be called the Treehouse, because that's what Donkey Kong lived in.
Really?
Yeah. And actually, that story is told in the book Console Wars, which you should definitely read. Lewis and I talked about that a while back. But I actually read that story in Console Wars, and I thought, they called that super secret little bunker where these people were working on Donkey Kong Country, they called that the Treehouse. I wonder if that actually is like the origin of the name Treehouse for the new division that Nintendo has now. The actual Treehouse, though, as a division of Nintendo of America, didn't actually start until the late 90s, though, so about a decade later. Bill Trinan, of course, was one of the guys involved in that. Okay, there I read this little article about the Nintendo Treehouse, and it had some interesting facts in it. I'm just going to read this. This comes straight from this article from Kotaku called Nintendo Secret Weapon. The script for the newest Animal Crossing clocked in at some 2.4 million Japanese characters,
jeez,
say the Treehouse folk. I know. Roughly estimated, that's a little over a million English words or about 20 novels. Considering that the Treehouse does localization, and they also work on some marketing stuff and other tasks, that is huge. They have a really big, important job for localization in the West.
And the crazy thing is, it's not just a matter of pure translation. With a game like Animal Crossing, there is a lot of actual localization involved, in terms of they will talk about actual specific holidays, which are to do with your region, and not just that, but they go through a lot of care to actually make the conversations sound right for the local audience, if that makes sense. Like, there's a lot of actual, like, jokes with puns in it as well, which just must have been completely written from scratch.
I'm sure they had to change things that were from what you had with the Japanese slang, or even the jokes that would only originate from there. They would obviously have to change something to, you know, Americanize it here in the States, or even for, well, Europe, for instance, well, I'm saying for English-speaking folk, or...
Yeah, there's a lot of European words in there across like the five different supported languages. But then again, that's something else entirely.
It is kind of an interesting thought, though. I mean, we all speak English, but there's like a completely different culture over where you live, Lewis. And so localization is actually a big deal. And that's kind of what the Treehouse folks do. And it's really interesting because Nintendo, I guess, wants us to get to know them, because these guys who we're starting to get a little bit familiarized with have appeared in many things. And I just like have a list of them here. The first thing, I mean, let's see, what's his name? I think it's Nate. No, is it not? Oh, I can't remember all the names, but there were Treehouse guys appearing in Nintendo Directs a long time ago. But the first time Nintendo actually had a lot of their Treehouse employees appear was at this year's E3. Actually, those live at E3 segments, which would sometimes last for several hours at a time. Treehouse employees would just like play the games that they've been localizing. So you could get a good idea of what those games were all about that way, with like an actual demonstration of it from the actual localizer. So there's that. Okay, there was also an interesting thing in the recent Nintendo Direct on Bayonetta 2. The Treehouse Take. That's where I got the name for this feature. During Treehouse Take segments in the Bayonetta 2 Direct, the Treehouse employees would actually kind of give their thoughts on Bayonetta 2. So there's that. There's also this recent Live at the Treehouse stream that lasted like 8 hours on Friday. So I think that, I don't know if you guys have tuned into all of these things, all or some or however much, but it's kind of interesting that we're like getting to know and getting to like these just like Nintendo employees.
Oh yeah, it's nice to actually see the people behind when it comes to probably one of the more strenuous jobs of when it comes to localizing a game, and you know that is translation as well, and just debugging. Well, I think the Super Mario Club is responsible for here in the States, or Japan is responsible for debugging. But I mean, it's nice to actually, yeah, like you said, to get to know these people instead of just having them behind the scenes. And just you at first you kept thinking like the Nintendo Treehouse was nothing but this enigma of sorts. You just are thinking, like, what is this? Is this the testing area, or is this the secret lair that they have all the rejected Nintendo ideas that never see the light of day, or are they holding Half-Life 3 hostage? Okay, that was a bad joke. But I really do like this, and, you know, and a few of these, actually, I do chat with on Twitter, one of which is Allison Rapp on there. I'm sure probably some of you follow her on there. I can't pronounce her Twitter name correctly on there. I mean, I just, for the life of me at the moment, I'm just bad words. Yeah, that's bad for a journalist to say I'm bad at words.
Well, hey, I can't either, so I follow Allison as well, so.
No, she's very nice. She's very nice and very informative, and just, it's her love of Zelda that I enjoy, I think, the most of that. I mean, I think I got to follow her when she was I think it was an intern at Game Informer or whatever, and that was right when I asked her questions, like, you know, are they doing internships there, and I was able to get, like, a phone interview or something up at Game Informer, but I didn't get the position. But since then, I just kind of follow back or whatever and just say good job on all this and everything. I mean, you know, she's very fluent in Japanese as well, too, from what she describes on there, and it makes me think, like, are the majority there fluent in such a different language to actually translate this? I mean,
actually, according to the Kotaku article that I read, not all of them have to be fluent in Japanese, although I think probably most of them are just because of localization. But there's like the translating and the localization, but there's also the editing of the scripts, which you can probably do.
That too, yeah.
If you don't know Japanese, so there's a lot that goes on. But yeah, there's a lot of great personalities here that we get to see a lot of lately, and I've been really enjoying it. I don't know what... I don't know if you guys think this way as well, but okay, one of the main reasons I want to get Fantasy Life is because of Audrey. I don't know if you paid any attention to her during E3, but
Audrey Drake?
I'm not sure what her last name is. I'll actually say,
if it's Audrey Drake, I think that is her, because she used to be, she used to write and write for the Nintendo section of IGN before she left. I think it was like 2-3 years ago or so. Mm. And I think that's probably where, yeah, I think that's where she ended up.
Well, she, I don't know, this might help you decide, you know, for sure whether it's her. She's got a really kind of goofy laugh, which is another one of those things that just, like, shows her enthusiasm for the games that she plays. And when she did most of the demo for Fantasy Life, and just watching her play and listening to that, like, goofy laugh and just, you know, her enjoying that game, and it also just looks great. The gameplay looked fantastic. That's, yeah, one of the big reasons that I really want to get Fantasy Life. There's also, I'm trying to think. I think it's Nate. This is the Nate that I'm thinking of. Nate, the, like, Super Smash, the reigning Super Smash Bros. Champion at the Treehouse, Nate Bildorf. He's really fun to watch play, because he's just a pro. So, there's him as well. But, okay. I had this thought, and I thought we could kind of talk about this thought that I had. There's no more Nintendo Power, right?
No. Unfortunately, yes.
So, when Nintendo Power actually began, it was like a Nintendo thing. It was within Nintendo. I don't know how long that lasted, but eventually it was definitely taken over by different companies, or possibly just one company. I'm not sure exactly how that works. But it was an internal thing with Nintendo. I'm thinking that the Treehouse stuff that we have been seeing a lot, plus Nintendo Directs and other things like that, they're almost like a replacement for Nintendo Power. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think it could be seen that way. It's like the modern equivalent. I mean, obviously part of the reason why the magazine went was just general dwindling sales of, you know, print magazines and so on, especially with kind of the more niche areas. And so, yeah, seeing, you know, these Nintendo Directs and the Treehouse videos, I think it's a great way for Nintendo to kind of get the message out directly to the consumers. And it's cool to see them bring, you know, just these general personalities and people that you can, you know, trust that actually have played this game and really know it inside and out. And it's good to see just, like, actual gamers, as it were, like that, play a game and talk about it. Instead of just someone who is, you know, more traditionally trying to sell you it, and someone in a suit, as it were. And yeah, I think this kind of increase of video content from Nintendo has been absolutely fantastic. I've been enjoying a lot of it. In fact, you know, there's been so much that it's only bits and bobs I have been seeing. Whereas in the past, it would have been absolutely everything Nintendo put out, because it wasn't a huge amount to catch up on.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's really fun, and I personally watched, you know, well, some of that 8-hour stream. The stuff I was watching was about the Smash 3DS stuff.
I think they played that quite a bit, but I was trying to watch it at work, but I work at a library, so I couldn't have any sound, so I just watched the video. Uh-huh. The Captain Toad Treasure Tracker footage I really enjoyed. It was actually pretty early in the stream, I believe. They showed off a couple of new levels that just look really great, so
that's
it was
cool.
Good. But yeah, just tons of stuff, and usually if Nintendo's going to be streaming something like this, you can count on, you know, one or two small announcements that can get you excited, such as during the 8-hour stream. That's kind of when Nintendo said, like, ooh, we're distributing these codes for early access demos of Super Smash Bros. 3DS, so.
Question, though, with those codes, do you think this actually is, with Club Nintendo, we're even now, right? We're even for basically the gifts that we got this year.
You mean, like, the United States versus Europe?
Or was it, as in the platinum status?
I'm saying for the state. People here in the States, you know, what we got as a reward and your award, and then we got this a week early. Do you think that evens everything out for everybody?
I don't know.
It would be an interesting move going forwards, though, if they added that to as general platinum status stuff, that you get, like, a week early access to the demos before everyone else does. I think that could be a big incentive on top of the usual kind of physical stuff.
Which, you know, you had to be a Platinum Club Nintendo member last year, actually, to have qualified for this, but it wasn't like a choice of, you know, for the platinum reward that you could choose earlier this year. So, I don't know. I still think, I mean, I haven't touched NES Remix a whole lot, which is what I picked for my platinum status. So,
It's a good game to, I know it is strictly one player, but if you got a friend over or a couple, you just pass the gamepad back and forth and just take a challenge at a time. If someone fails, just pass the gamepad immediately over. I think that helps the game out quite a lot, because it can get a bit monotonous, just like really just drilling through it. But the challenges themselves are quite fun, you know, taken one by one.
I actually did do that a bit with my sister, who, I don't know, she's not much of a gamer, so I couldn't keep her interested for very long, but actually, that actually reminds me of another game that was shown early in the Live at the Treehouse stream. Ultimate? Is that what it's being called?
Yeah, it is.
Ultimate NES Remix for the 3DS.
I've still not figured out what it actually is, so hopefully you can help me out here, beyond the name.
I'm not sure I know either. I think it's... Well, actually, no. I'm just not even going to try, because I couldn't hear what was going on. And when I'm at the library, like, there's a bit of downtime. I was able to watch some of the footage, but I was not able to watch enough that I could tell you what this game is all about, unfortunately. I guess we can... Okay, does anyone else have any... we're going to move on from this, that is the Treehouse take, unless anyone has anything else further to say about it. Probably not. We've been kind of sidetracking here for a bit, and so I think it's time to move on to our final section. I'm glad that we have time for this, our community comments section. All right, this is a comment, not a question, from Pikmin D, because we answered his previous question on... I forget what the question was. But we answered his question, and also in that same episode, we asked people to give us their feedback on what they thought of Meta Knight, the overpowered Meta Knight, returning to Super Smash Bros. So this was a while back, but Pikmin D says, "As for Meta Knight appearing in Smash, I am definitely happy to see him there. When I first started playing Smash on the Wii, he was the only character I could get a win with for ages because I was playing people who were pretty experienced. Sometimes you just need to get a win or two under your belt to keep you motivated. I guess you could call that overpowered, but I think of it more as an entry-level character. Personally, I think Fox McCloud in that insane tank is the most overpowered character of them all anyways."
Well, there was like three insane tanks in that game, wasn't there?
Yep, there was Fox, Falco, and Wolf all had the same final smash, and it was the tank.
Oh, the Landmaster, which, of course, if you use properly, would ever get anybody on top and just float up to the top, and there you go.
I'm not sure that's how it was intended to be used.
Oh, no, it was very overpowered. It was.
But hey, it was a final smash, and I feel like a lot of the final smashes are fairly overpowered. I mean, if you caught someone in Marth's final smash, I mean, that was an instant knockout for sure.
I play as Peach, and her final smash is pretty rubbish.
Oh, did you guys ever see the villagers' final smash?
Final smash?
Oh, wow, that is hilarious. It's Tom Nook and his sons just building a house around the character that you entrap them in, and then you just blow it up. It's like, wow, all that mortgage money just out the window.
Yep, it doesn't really fit with the series very well, but it's super
really
funny.
It showed a very dark undertone to the Animal Crossing series.
I knew, well, that's me knowing that Tom Nook is always up to things that I always found him to be a shady character.
Yeah, he's managed to keep that monopoly for many a year. We now know some of the dirty tactics he's employed.
He's teaching his sons to do the same thing as his bidding, so it's just going to go down generation upon generation.
Oh man, best final smash ever. I got that final smash while I was playing by myself, and since my sister likes Animal Crossing probably more than I do even, I was thinking to myself like, oh, I can't wait to show her this, and we were actually playing together earlier today, and I let her, of course, because I could get it over her easily, I let her get the final smash with the villager and use it so she could see what was happening, and I think she enjoyed that. She pretty much enjoyed everything about the villager because it's just so Animal Crossing, everything
yes.
about the villager.
And yeah, I know we mentioned, well, we talked quite a bit really about the roster earlier, but I think that the fact that like you can have the alt characters as some of the characters, like with the villager, There are basically 8 different villages you can be in the full game. I think that's a really big bonus for the roster of the new games.
It's better than just basically taking up extra roster spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just having, you know, the different coloured shirts, for example. It's cool. They all have, you know, different faces, and there's boys and girls and such.
Yeah, there are some pretty cool costumes in this game that are drastically different from their originals. You can dress up the Mii fighters in costumes, among other things, but I think we can move on now to our next reader or listener question. This comes from Jason Ottermatt. I hope I pronounced that right. Let me know if I didn't. He asks the question, do old Sega games now count as adopted Nintendo games? What would you want to see updated from Genesis to Wii U? As for me, Vector Man. That's Jason, not me.
First thing, Jason, just to answer your first question, no, I don't consider them Nintendo games. I mean, they're Sega right now is a third-party publisher, so they're multi-platform. I wouldn't really consider that. I mean, you could say Nintendo's done a lot better job than handling the character of Sonic than what his parent company has. And, I wouldn't say as Mars adopted. I mean, if I had to say one adopted third-party character that is kind of Nintendo's now, or wouldn't say is Mega Man, I just feel like the fact that Capcom has neglected that character so much ever since its creators left the company, so that could be, I mean, if you said that, I could definitely agree with you on there. But as far as games in the Genesis, the Wii U, one I know already released on the Wii late in its life cycle, Shinobi, and Gunstar Heroes. Those are the two I'd really, really like to see put on there. One, Gunstar Heroes was a run-and-gun action shooter in the vein of Contra that was developed by Treasure Games, who we all know did Ikaruga and Sin and Punishment. So those two I would really like to see put on there, the Wii U VC. Which, oh, by the way, right now, I mean, speaking of Capcom Mega Man, Mega Man 7 is now on the Wii U VC right now. Yes, and that is a game physically. A physical copy is extremely hard to come around.
Huh. Makes me think, like, maybe I'll buy it while I can.
I bought Mega Man X3. The only reason why I wanted that is because I had the Mega Man X collection, and the only reason I didn't like it is because I did not like the PAL, or no, it was the Saturn and PlayStation music mixed into it. Yes, you have a better sound card on there, but the music that they went to put on there, it just did not fit with it. That, and they changed out the boss introductions, like when you select a boss, and it's these animated cutscenes, and they haven't aged well, so I don't know. It just, I was really hoping to find the Super Nintendo version come back, and that's fine. I played that and beat it, and finally 100% it, first time in my life. God bless you, restore points.
Oh, they are a very handy feature.
Oh yeah, they are, especially if you've ever played a Mega Man or a Mega Man X title, when you're in that middle section right before a boss, whatever, like between the doors that are locked. Oh, restore point right there. That's all I do. And that way I don't lose lives. And yet a roommate of mine, I told him that, he's like, I don't get off way off topic right now. I told that to my roommate, and he's like, yeah, you know, if I just die here, did this. He's like, you do realize that's cheating, right? It's like, no. It's cheating in a speedrun sense. That is cheating. You going back and uploading your old save file because you died and you lost somebody, that's the same thing I'm talking about. And plus, it just gets... It's used on ROMs. I mean, restore points have been known for using on, like, emulators, but this is, it's a way to kind of get past that whole, I don't want to go back to this portion of the game. You know, I mean, and sure, it takes away from the fact, like, you're not losing lives, but if I want a challenge, I won't use them.
Yeah, and it's good that they're there as an optional feature, as it were. In a lot of games, I'm very thankful for the fact that, you know, Nintendo has put restore points into virtual, you know, the VC. And in others, I don't really use it beyond actual, you know, general saving of progress. So it's really cool that they're there.
I know, I mean, and it works for older titles such as on the NES, because when you don't have save files, or if you do have save file or a password system like Metroid, I just save it on there, because it's just like, I'm not writing down a password.
No, definitely it makes a lot of sense on that side. Mm. So yeah, in terms of
Sega?
Jason's actual question.
I went off a while.
Yeah, I do agree with Harrison. I don't think they count as adult Nintendo games, but obviously Nintendo and Sega have got a lot friendlier over the years, and obviously much more so than they were when they were bitter rivals and when they were actually making consoles. But the fact that, you know, there is a big collection of Sega games you can get onto the Virtual Console, I mean, I could almost be persuaded in that kind of phrasing.
Yeah, it's like Sega has been, I don't know, adopted, but just by many, many different sources.
Exactly, and although it doesn't affect...
I don't know if that's possible.
It doesn't, retrofit in their old games, but obviously Nintendo and Sega have worked together to make games, and, you know, they borrowed each other's IP in terms of, you know, got Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games and so on. So, yeah, they're a lot friendlier than they were back in the day, and it's good to see actual Sega games on Nintendo consoles, both new and old. And as kind of a honourable mention here, a Genesis game I would like to see, whether it came to the Wii U or something else new, I think Toe Jam and Earl would be cool to see done as a modern game. I think that would be pretty fun.
I have, you know, I when I was little, I barely knew. In fact, I didn't know, plain and simple, that there was any kind of console war going on between Nintendo and Sega, because we were always just Nintendo people, always. Never got any of that, so I never played a Genesis.
My brother always had a friend that I'd always who had a Genesis, and I'd go over there play Sonic, Vector Man, and even Phantasy Star. But
Phantasy Star sounds really good. If I were to say, like, I want this to be on the Wii U or updated, even, I might just choose that one just because I think it sounds good. I've heard a little bit about it, so
I think. Oh no. Another revival of sorts of Phantasy Star Online would be great. They did that with Phantasy Star Universe, and it suffered critically. So
That's too bad to hear.
You know what, Nintendo and Sega, just merge. Just merge, please. I know that's the pipe dream to end all pipe dreams, but you know what? We handle some of your characters a lot better than usual.
Yeah, I think it'll look more like a buyout than a merge, as it were, but no, I completely agree. I'm surprised Nintendo hasn't done that move yet. As again, they're getting friendlier and friendlier with their cross-development. Surely Nintendo has kind of the cash to do that sort of thing. And obviously, Sega owns also a lot of secondary studios. Well, not so much a lot nowadays, but do some, which have some very good games as well. So yeah, I think it'd be a very smart move for Nintendo. I know we have discussed this previously, but it would be pretty awesome to actually see Sega kind of be brought into the fold of Nintendo.
Sega recently, I think, bought a bit of stake in Atlas as well. So
yeah, exactly.
You'd be bringing that too.
I don't know. I obviously don't know much about the games on previous Sega platforms, but I don't even. Here's a question: who's even looking forward to these Sonic games coming to the 3DS and the Wii U? I think that, yeah, it's like you guys say.
Sonic Boom, you mean?
No, what, is that it?
That is it? Yeah.
Oh, I can't even remember.
And in Japan,
called.
It's called Sonic Toon.
Okay, that's weird.
That is quite weird. Because, yeah, at unusual. First, it wasn't even going to come out. But no, I mean, I played the Wii U version and that post-E3 event, and I was really pleasantly surprised about it.
Pleasantly surprised is not good enough to make me want to spend $60 on it.
True,
though.
But I had very low expectations going forwards. But no, it was a good game, what I played. And it didn't really feel much like a Sonic game, but that, in my book, was a positive in the 3D realm. There was a lot of cool puzzle elements and, you know, work and kind of smart working of teammates, and cool uses of items like this hookshot type thing. And the graphics are really good as well. So I'm interested to see what the reviews will be like when the game comes out.
Yeah, the reviews are probably going to be my deciding factor as well.
And I think it's one of the first of the big Sonic games, as it were, to not actually be made by Sonic Team. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what effect that has as well.
Yeah.
Get some new blood in there.
Yeah, it's just that, to me, the best way to make Sonic games good would be, like you mentioned, and this is not really likely to happen, but, you know, handing it over to Nintendo would probably be a really positive thing. But I think that'll conclude our discussion on Jason's question. Thank you for the question again. Our last question comes from Risen Devil. He asks, because, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles, as we all know, was announced as being a... Well, it's being remade for the new Nintendo 3DS systems. I think we all kind of know about that. So Risen Devil's question kind of comes after that. What other games are people hoping come over from the Wii to 3DS? There were some great WiiWare titles. I'm interested to hear what others are looking forward to. He actually listed a couple of examples of WiiWare titles, but they were all acronyms, and I had no idea what they were, but that's just like something to think about, is that WiiWare titles are possibilities. So does anyone have something just like stick out to them right off the bat, like that needs to be, or that would be cool if it were brought over to the new 3DS?
Well, I'm actually heading downstairs with my laptop currently to have a peek at my own Wii collection.
Oh, you're holding your laptop, walking
in
down the stairs.
In the dark as well. That's not probably advisable for the people at home. I would recommend turning your lights on before.
Are you shining it basically as your light?
No, I'm not. But I am here now.
Okay. I'm glad that you didn't
crash.
No, do we have to be specifically on just WiiWare titles or just Wii titles?
Just Wii titles. He just says that there were some good WiiWare ones, which I didn't get a lot into WiiWare, but I did love Moto Heroes as a multiplayer game. It was fantastic.
I'd be interested to see how Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 would actually be put on there.
Yeah, that's going to come mind. And it would look great in 3D as well with the spherical worlds.
I wouldn't use it anyway.
But I'm just trying to... But I'm just trying to see how dumbed down the visuals would probably be on that.
That's a good point. But with, you know, like the new 3DS, they could be pretty close to the same level. That would be really cool, just to have the Galaxy games on the go. That would be awesome. I mean, today I was waiting for I went to a hamburger place to get some dinner, and I was, you know, waiting for my food, and I was playing Super Smash Bros. While waiting. And it just occurred to me, like, wow, I'm playing Super Smash Bros. On the go. This is fantastic. So I always just like the idea of anything coming to a handheld system that I like, because it's nice to be able to take things on the go. I'm almost tempted to buy Shovel Knight for my 3DS, even if I already have it on the Wii U, just because it's so great, and it'd be nice to play it wherever, whenever. But any other thoughts on that?
I've got an idea. It would be, like Xenoblade, it would be a very chunky cartridge, but I think the Metroid Prime Trilogy, if they could pull that off, get that onto the 3DS, I think there would be a lot of people interested in that. Again, We've not really played a first-person shooter on the 3DS in a while, so we'll have to adjust ourselves with the controls. But I think Metroid Prime will be, as first-person shooters go, probably the most suitable to bring over with his target locked aiming and so on. And again, I think that game would look pretty cool in 3D.
Maybe, I'm trying to think of another one. You think World of Goo would be a good choice to bring over again, or anything that's just gone and passed?
No, that would be great, but I don't think it would need to be limited to the new 3DS.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it needs that upgrade, so that would be nice. I'm probably going to get a new 3DS just because I want to be able to play some of the games that they put out on it. Even if Xenoblade Chronicles is the only one they do put out on it exclusively, I probably will still want it just for that. But yeah, there are some Wii games that I think would be suited for a regular 3DS too.
Yeah,
which is nice.
I think a port, possibly, of Twilight Princess from Wii to 3DS could happen. I think the graphics would look pretty nice on the 3DS.
Let us get our Majora's Mask remake before we get that.
There is that as well. Well, no, if they do that, then Majora's Mask can come to the Wii U in glorious HD.
I want Twilight Princess in glorious HD though.
Oh, that's true, but I mean. Yeah, well, I'll take you.
You know what Nintendo needs to do? Remaster, remaster Majora's Mask for the 3DS and the Wii U separately, so that it's not just like trying to, you know, go from the 3D version to the Wii U. They have to do them both from the ground up, and then do the exact same thing for Twilight Princess. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, but we may not get that new from Zelda game. I think all the resources will be stretched.
Darn it. It'd be like a dream come true, though.
Yeah.
And if you could, how do you describe it? Transfer your files. Data transfer.
Yeah.
between them as well. That would be, wow.
That would be pretty nifty.
It would, but obviously it's not going to happen. Did either of you play Moto Heroes?
No, I did not.
Nor did I, actually. No.
I think it came pretty late in the Wii's life cycle. It is, I mean, I played the demo of it by myself and thought, well, that was kind of lame. But then I played the demo version with a friend, and I thought, I have to get this game. It is unbelievably fun to play with other people, and it's super simple, too. So you can just about get anybody to play it with you. Just so you know.
Actually, I've got another suggestion here to a Wii to new 3DS port. And one I think would be tailored quite well to the system, which is Sin and Punishment, Successor of the Skies.
Ooh.
Wait a minute, does that have a different name here in the United States?
Yeah, it's called Star Successor here. Okay. It's called Sin and Punishment. Yeah. Yeah, it's called Sin and Punishment 2 over in Japan. Reason being is, I think if they put 2 on there, it would confuse some people.
The original didn't even come outside of the Japan, did it? So.
No, the only time it came out outside of Japan was on the Virtual Console.
Exactly. So yeah, but I mean, because it had the pointer and nunchuck controls, obviously that could be translated to the touchscreen, but then again, it would kind of have that Kid Icarus effect. Oh no, but of course, obviously on the new system, it's got that little nubbin, as it were, so that can help out in being one of the options. But yeah, I think that would... be good to give that game another chance of some gamers to actually play it.
So you've been playing it lately, right?
I have, not as much as I wanted to.
Oh.
But I have been, playing it somewhat.
Okay. So you'll probably want to talk about it sometime soon-ish on the podcast.
Almost definitely, yeah.
So that's something that you listeners can look forward to. Ooh, suspense.
Yes. Am I enjoying it or am I hating it? Well, I just recommended it, so that's probably something in its favor, isn't it?
Yeah. But you got to talk about it in detail at some point.
Yes.
But speaking of suspense, I took the... Actually, this was a while back, but I wanted to let you know so that the suspense can continue. I took the intent to buy survey on Club Nintendo for Hyrule Warriors.
Ooh.
But... that doesn't mean I take the intent to buy on every single game that shows up there, just in case I eventually get it. So that doesn't really say whether I'm getting it.
You just want the extra coins, come on.
Well, it's like I say, I'm not saying anything. Whether or not I'm getting Hyrule Warriors, I might not be getting it still, because I'm not quite sold on it. But I did take that survey, and you will find out probably in the next couple of weeks... whether I am actually going to get it early-ish. Because eventually, I think it might happen. But we'll see. I'm not saying anything. All right. So I think that we have essentially reached the end of our show with that. I think at the end of this show, we should, because we haven't done it in a while, give out our Twitter handles and our Nintendo Network IDs. Because I think, especially for the three of us, those are kind of two really good ways to follow us and to get a hold of us as well. So I'm just going to start. My Twitter handle is at Holly Felmeth, H-O-L-L-Y, and then F-E-L-L-M-E-T-H. My Nintendo Network ID is Aeroweth. It's spelled A-E-R-O-W-E-T-H. Lewis, can you go ahead and give out any information that you are willing to?
Yeah, certainly. Both my Nintendo Network account and my Twitter handle are thankfully the same, and they both are Luvsion, which is spelt L-E-U-V-S-I-O-N. Yeah, and happy to accept any requests which come through from there.
And for me, my Twitter handle is H Milfeld, all one. It's H-M-I-L-F-E-L-D. And yes, I'm sorry. The codes that I have up Smash Brother are gone. Stop asking me. And my Nintendo Network ID is Hybrid Meta. Meta. It's HYBRIDMETA. So send me requests. We'll talk games, and I'll annoy you with my Ridley and Smash conspiracy theories.
Well, yeah, that's the exact reason I decided to give out our information in this episode, is to get people to go and annoy Harrison.
But before we go, though, I just wanted to ask...
Hashtag Ridley is real.
Ridley is real or Ridley and Smash are I want to believe. And no, which led me back to my story I put on there is like, what did you think of that video that the guy, one of the hardcore, like the professional Smash players just dissecting that shadow from the April Nintendo Direct that showed a Ridley and the Pyrosphere stage hazard, even though Sakurai never mentioned by name?
I didn't see that, unfortunately.
I did, and I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, someone send me the link then.
it's on the story. It's embedded in there.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't read the whole thing, so I will definitely go and do that. All right, with that, we have come to the end of our show. You can get a hold of us with comments or questions for us via those methods that we have just described. Also, if you would like to send an email to us, you can do that at contact@infendo.com. All right. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. This has been Infendo Radio.
See ya.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.